Okay, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 32. And there are 52 verses in this chapter. This is a chapter regarding the Song of Moses. So Solomon was not the only one that wrote psalms and songs, and David. But this is a song that God gave to Moses. And people were instructed to remember this song. To remember it. It's a song that I don't believe there's any songwriters in the world that have ever written any song as beautiful as this one, or the Song of Solomon and the psalms that the psalmist David has written. This is beautiful, that the Song of Moses. And Lord, we ask that you open up hearts, souls, minds to receive it and the power from it, because the power is in the blood to take away sins, but the power is in the spirit to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to keep us standing another day, one day at a time in the Lord, in you, Father, in you, Jesus. So, Lord, anoint this and make it for the power-packed life that we live. Let it keep us another day, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead. First one.
Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 32, the Song of Moses that he recited to the assembly of Israel. King James Version, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Verse 3. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God.
Ascribe ye greatness unto the God. You know, like Samson was a man that God had given a tremendous gift to. Every time that he would come down with his spirit upon Samson, Samson would have this great gift that he had supernatural strength. But then Samson started trusting in his gift of power, strength, rather than trusting in the Lord who had given it to him. And so this is to show us that we shouldn't trust in the gifts that we have from the Lord of eternal life, that we have to trust in the Lord to maintain that gift, to keep it going. If Samson would have maintained his stance with the Lord, he wouldn't have had to be put to death, and he still never really delivered Israel as the judge. So read that verse again, because this says a lot there.
Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God.
Right, so we are supposed to publish God about the Lord. The name of the Lord, his name is Jesus, and the power that's in his word. Read it again.
Because I will publish the name of the Lord.
I will publish it. Do we publish the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Okay, and for what purpose? So that we can win souls. That's what the Lord called us for, is to win souls. Some people, some Christians think they've been called to just give money, and that gets them off the hook with the Lord. But that isn't it. He wants us to learn the word well enough to where we can be a master, because of the Lord being the master in us at winning human souls. There's no other reason that he came into the earth, into the world as a man, but for to win human souls. And he said that he would, in his Father's house are many rooms, and that his Father will room in us and become as he is, a soul winner, if we will publish his word. We can't publish it if we don't learn it. And so that's very important, to learn the word of the Lord, to be a publisher of it. Okay, and then read that again, just because this, you know, we're not reading this very fast to just hickory dickory dock with it. These words have a meaning. Publish the words. That's why Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He published the word of the Lord, and you people and anyone that reads it has retained a lot of strength from it, have you not?
Yes.
Amen. Okay, so let's publish it, and then read it again.
Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God.
And what is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the name of the Word of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
That verse is important. Okay, what else?
Verse 4. He is the rock. His work is
perfect. He is the rock. Isn't Jesus not the rock, the solid rock, Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He is the rock what?
His work is perfect.
He perfected salvation. I mean, there's no other way to be saved in the world, in the whole universe, but through Christ. So he perfected the plan of salvation, and if we follow it, we shall be saved. And if we don't, we will not be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go. I don't care if this tape takes 10 hours. We're going to get through it, okay? What else?
He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment.
All of God's ways are judgment. And then people say, well, I don't believe in a God that is just a God of love that judges. Well, then you don't believe in God. All of his ways are judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so be careful. Believe in the Word of God that we publish and that is published here. Otherwise, you're going to be judged, and you're not going to like the consequences, because God's judgment is very fair, and it's he will judge the way he says he'll judge. If you believe, you'll be saved. If you doubt, you'll be damned. So you get that through your head, you know, all of you that listen to this tape, because I know that everybody's preaching a different message, but there's no Bible that will substantiates what you're believing. He judges, he will bless, and he also curses. Amen?
Amen.
He loves and he hates. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, he said. And he condemns, and he gets angry, and he gets full of wrath. Did you ever hear of the wrath of God?
Yes.
What do you think all these tornadoes and hurricanes are? Earthquakes and plagues of different diseases. And I could go on and on, but there isn't enough tape here. You know, I don't have enough time here this evening to go through all the different plagues. All right, then what?
A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation.
You know, those that don't believe in him and don't do what he says, they are crooked and perverse. Then what?
Verse 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee?
Right. He's the one that made us out of the dirt of the ground, and so he's the one that also taught people languages, taught us all how to speak, and he's the one also that wrote the Bible. And so you have to, he's smarter than you are. He's smarter than all the people in the world put together. And then some. Okay, then what?
Translation verse 1 through 6. The song of Moses that he recited to the assembly of Israel. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak! Exclamation mark. Hear, O earth, the words that I say! Exclamation mark. Verse 2.
That means hear. Listen, open your spiritual ears. Father, open everyone's spiritual ear so they can hear these things. Because they're very important and they're true. Then what else? Because they're true. Go ahead.
My teaching will fall on you like rain. My speech will settle like dew. My words will fall like rain on tender grass, like gentle showers on young plants.
Right. Now, isn't that what happens when we send tapes out and when the Word of God is preached? It's like a dew that comes down, and you can feel it entering into your soul, into your spiritual ears, right?
Right.
Then what?
Verse 3. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God! Exclamation mark. Verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and how upright he is! Exclamation mark. Verse 5. But they have acted corruptly toward him. When they act like that, are they really his children? They are a deceitful and twisted generation. Verse 6. Is this the way you repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Isn't he your father who created you? Has he not made you and established you? King James Version, verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Okay, he separated the sons of Adam. He sent Cain a packing. Amen?
Amen.
Because he killed Abel, and he offered up wrong sacrifices unto the Lord, sacrifices that had no virtue of the blood, which would symbolize the coming of him in the flesh of Jesus. Okay, so he separated the sons of Adam. And then the sons of Adam started sinning and went down and united themselves with the daughters of Cain. And that's where a lot of bad things began happening. The whole world then became corrupt. Then what?
Verse 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance.
Yeah, Jacob is Israel, and so the New Jerusalem is what the Lord wants to inherit. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have his church. He's going to have the New Jerusalem. It's going to come to pass, and only those that adhere to what he says is going to be there on that day at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and all the rest are going to be burning and screaming their heads off in hell and the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 10. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness.
What does that mean? The Lord found the children that he chose out there in the wilderness, out in Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
A place void of God. Then what?
He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Verse 11. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him.
Right. When the Lord leads you, then you're not going to get into trouble. If you decide that you don't want to be led by the Lord, you're crazy and you're going to go down. You're going to be flattened. You're going down deeper than you think. Hell and the lake of fire are deep into the heart of the earth. Then what?
Verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock.
Right. In a world that's full of depression, and so the people are broke, busted, have no money, no resources, they can't eat what they want, they have to budget everything and take a counter with them in the supermarkets. The people of the Lord eat whatever they want. They don't know what that's like. Amen?
Amen.
We hear that there's a depression out there, but we don't know of it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 14, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat, and thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. Verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation.
That's what people do today. They lightly esteem Christ, the rock of their salvation, and they think they're hurting God. You're hurting yourself. Get right with the Lord. Why do you want to just die and be cursed throughout your life and then spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire? Go ahead.
Verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger.
And the word jealousy doesn't mean like the jealousy that a man has for his wife, and that is a whoring, but his jealousy burns hot, and he after he's done everything for people, it just really ticks God off, and he just wants to destroy you if you don't remember. He says, as a matter of fact, he says, I'll tear you in pieces if you forget me. I'll tear you from limb to limb. All right, then what?
Verse 17, they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not.
Imagine that, till God creates you out of the dirt of the ground, blows breath into you, and kicks you in the pants and gets you walking, then gives you everything to eat and breathe air and all these things, and then you go worshiping a stone or some female or some male or something in this world, a car, music, or anything like that, or the universe, a sun, the moon, or some fake god. No wonder God makes people spend eternity in the lake of fire. No wonder. If I was God, I wouldn't have that much toleration for them. I would just stop letting them hear. I'd just do like, you know, just press on them just like a human would an ant. And that'd be the end of them. And then cast them in there. So you don't believe in blessings? Here's some curses for the rest of eternity. And eternity never ends. Then what?
Verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Verse 19. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them, because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. Translation, verse 7 through 19. Remember the days of long ago. Think about the generations past. Ask your father, and he will inform you.
Yeah, he'll tell you how God wrecked Egypt, opened the Red Sea, poured out 10 plagues, killed the firstborn of everyone in Egypt, didn't put the blood on the mantles and the doorpost. And then all the things that he did while we're on the wilderness with them. Gave them bread every morning. It just came down like dew. And all the other things that he did for them. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. There was none of them that were sick. Keep going.
Inquire of your elders, and they will tell you. Verse 8.
Yeah, ask the old-timers. They've had experience with the Lord. They know all about God. You young people that has not that don't know the Lord, they'll tell you. And read the Bible of all these testimonies here that will tell you that God is real. Then what?
When the Most High assigned lands to the nations, when he divided up the human race, he established the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of angelic beings. Verse 9. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. Jacob is his special possession. Verse 10. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as his most precious possession. Verse 11. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them in and carried them aloft on his pinions. Verse 12. The Lord alone guided them. They lived without any foreign gods. Verse 13. He made them ride over the highlands. He let them feast on the crops of the fields. He nourished them with honey from the cliffs, with olive oil from the hard rock. Verse 14. He fed them curds from the herd and milk from the flock, together with the fat of lambs and goats. He gave them choice rams and goats from Bashan, together with the choicest wheat. He drank the finest wine made from the juice of grapes. Verse 15. But Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed! Then they abandoned their God who had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation.
They started looking for something better than God. And that's when they went down the toilet, so to speak. Okay, then what?
Verse 16. They stirred up his jealousy by worshiping foreign gods. They provoked his fury with detestable acts. Verse 17. They offered sacrifices to demons, non-gods, to gods they had not known before, to gods only recently arrived, to gods their ancestors had never feared. Verse 18. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. Verse 19. The Lord saw this and was filled with loathing. He was provoked to anger by his own sons and daughters. King James Version, verse 20. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people.
They have moved me to anger, the Lord says? I thought you people said he was all love. Come on, this is the Bible. Then what?
I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation.
God says he'll do it. It isn't Mother Nature that's provoking you to anger. It's the Lord, because you made him uptight. Okay, and he's upset, angry with you, and he's punishing you, and you don't know it. You think it's Mother Nature. That really upsets him, too, when you think it's nature, Mother Nature of all things. You idol worshippers make God sick to his stomach. You make him full of wrath. And that's what you're going to get more and more of his wrath as time goes on. Watch and see. I said this a year ago, and it's getting worse and worse. One hurricane after another hitting. And you say, well, we're glad we're living in this part of the country. God will probably open the earth over where you're at, or maybe cause some earthquakes, or some twisters, or don't worry, something will come. God knows how to cook up something for you, all right? Or maybe a big plague of some kind that you never heard of, some disease that'll sweep your whole town, your cities, your state. You're not safe from God unless you repent and serve him and you become born again of the Spirit and save him. Okay? Oh, you're safe and sound. Just wait. And mark my words, it's going to happen. Then what else?
Verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains.
See, God's doing it, not Mother Nature, okay? God doesn't know who Mother Nature is. That's a figment of your imagination. It's a delusion, just one of your many delusions. Okay, then what?
Verse 23, I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them.
See, God says he'll send his arrows against you. Then what else?
Verse 24, they shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat.
Do you know of any hunger in the world today?
Amen.
And you know of burning heat anywhere in the world today?
Yes.
Oh, my, what can the matter be? Johnny, so long at the stinking fair. Okay, what else?
And with bitter destruction, I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them.
Yeah, say, you know, there's no twister or hurricane your way, but how about the teeth of some beasts? For you could be their supper, maybe. Those of you up in Montana that have fled up there to think that you're safe in the mountains and Colorado and North Dakota and South Dakota and Wyoming and up there in those areas. And up in the Appalachians, and so on. You know, he gets you. Read that verse again, I like that. I mean, because it's the truth. It's a warning of love from the Lord. He's warning what he's going to do if you don't serve him. Read it again.
They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust.
Yeah, any snakes in your area? If not, God can fabricate, he can make them rain down on you. Can you ever hear him doing that? He can send a gust of quail to the Israelites where it's 3 foot deep. He can send hornets after the giants and run their big jive frames out of Israel. And he can rain snakes down. Amen?
Amen.
He made fiery serpents come against the Israelites, you know. Where'd they all come from? All the Lord has to do is he can make snakes out of sticks. He did Moses's, amen?
Amen.
So you got any sticks around you? Maybe rulers? Pencils? Oh, you got to be careful with the Lord. You're not safe from him. Stop thumbing your nose at the Lord and live. All right, then what?
Verse 25, the sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs.
Terrorists within. I told you that God said he's a terrorist. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I'll terrorize you before he kills you. How about any spiders, scorpions, centipedes? Oh, just, all kinds of things. He's got a better imagination than I do. Amen. And what else?
Verse 26, I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them.
He says, I'll do that. Amen?
Amen.
God's bragging about what he's going to do to all the disobedient people that think that you're immune because you don't live next to the water, so to speak. Then what?
I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men.
Yeah. In other words, he just wipe you out. Nobody even remember you. Do you remember when in the morning when you saw vapors rising off the ground? No, it was gone. Amen. Or do you remember the spit that you spit out or a scab that you tore off and threw on the ground? Did you mourn of it? Okay, well, the Lord, you'll be forgotten by everybody too. But if you are of the Lord, people never forget the names of the people that are of the Lord. We remember Moses, Joshua, we remember the Apostle Paul, and we certainly remember Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And all Peter and all those. You go down in history if you're serving the Lord. Even Samson, amen?
Amen.
And Manoah, and Elizabeth, and Mary. All these people we remember because they're of the Lord. They'll last forever. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? But you, you scallywag, you'll be chaff or, just like, you'll be burnt up if you turn your back on the Lord. Nobody will remember you. Then what?
Verse 27. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. Verse 28, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them.
Yeah, there's a place in the Bible when the people, there was nobody, there was no judge over Israel, and everybody did what they thought was right. And that's what there is today. There's no judge except people like myself that are not, we're telling you what the judgment of God is. There has to be somebody that is chastening the people, or there has to be some kind of a force from God to show people what's going to happen to them, to chasten them into a position to where they can know what to do. Otherwise, they're not going to do it, because when there's no judge to judge the people of the world, then the people do whatever they think is right themselves. And the things that the people are doing today are wrong. And you have to know the word of the Lord. You have to learn what he says. Now just do it so that you can have eternal life. All right, then what?
Verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end.
You know, because you think you're riding high now, but there is a time when you're going to have to face death. And you never know when that's going to be. And it could be tonight, tomorrow morning. It could catch you in your sleep. Yeah, you just don't consider your final end. It's time to pack it in, you know, throw in the towel of this world and get into the world to come, the kingdom of heaven. Because if you don't, you're going to be in the other world to come, which is the nether world, the place where everyone burns and screams and yells and never are satisfied forever and ever and ever. Then what?
Verse 30. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Translation, verse 20 through 30. He said, quote, I will abandon them. I will see to their end, exclamation mark.
See, God won't always be with you. He says, I'll abandon you. You'll cry on me and I won't hear you. I'll plug my ears up to your cries. He can muffle you, stifle you. Then what?
For they are a twisted generation, children without integrity. Verse 21. They have roused my jealousy by worshipping non-gods. They have provoked my fury with useless idols. Now I will rouse their jealousy, by blessing other nations. I will provoke their fury by blessing the foolish Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord did. He turned to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles now have made God into, you know, Christmas, Santa Claus, the birth of Christ, and then the resurrection of the Lord they make into an Easter bunny. So the Gentiles have gone back to idolatry. They like to color Easter eggs and put an Easter bunny around and all this sort of thing. And they've forgotten the Lord. And so the Lord is going to forget them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 22, for my anger blazes forth like fire.
God's anger. Wait a minute. I thought God was the God of love, all these heretics say. Let's say, now that's Old Testament. Well, then why is God going to burn the earth in these last days? Is that people that don't follow him? Is that love? Yeah, I think so. Because we don't want any of you nasty people in heaven with us. God is not going to allow you to be up there with us because, you know, that's just a special society up there. No sinners allowed. No unrepentant sinners. And there's a lot of people say that we're just sinners saved by grace. No, once we're saved, we become the sons of God. We're no longer sinners, all right? That's another fallacy that your churches, your cultish churches out there are teaching. Okay? Listen to the Lord and not to those people. Read the Bible yourself. Then what?
For my anger blazes forth like fire, and burns to the depth of the grave. It devours the earth and all its crops, and ignites the foundations of the mountains. Verse 23.
Yeah, didn't you say you look on the television, and the TV wants to get you to be feel sorry for all these people, that their homes are destroyed? But they don't feel sorry for Jesus. What they say, they go to church and read the Bible. That isn't enough. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord in you. And you have to take up the cross and follow the Lord and become a soul winner and live only to him. Okay? Otherwise, he's going to wreck you and your houses. Okay? You want to look bored about that? Well, you won't be bored when he hits. And remember, it's not Mother Nature. And what else?
I will heap disasters upon them.
There he goes again. There he goes again. God says, I'll heap disasters upon you. Was what happened in Florida a disaster?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Two or three of them in a row. I think the Lord's trying to tell the people down there something. And everyone that's watching, he's trying to tell you something too. You're not immune from it. Like I mentioned, there could be a lot of things happen to you. I don't care if you live on the highest mountain, the Lord said. Amen?
Amen.
Or if you're in a submarine under the water. He could just freeze it down there. Then what else?
I will heap disasters upon them and shoot them down with my arrows. Verse 24. I will send against them wasting famine, burning fever, and deadly disease. They will be troubled by
the... Is the Lord doing that?
Yes.
It's in the papers every day? On TV every day? Okay, then what?
They will be troubled...
And why? Because they're a bunch of sinners, all right? Yeah. Because you get bored at listening to this. You're going to even be more bored when you're in hell screaming your head off. It's very boring down there. It's so boring that you want to scream your head off just from the boredom alone. Just looking into the interior of a golf ball that's all white, and there's nothing else for you to see the rest of your life. And then there's this red, or say, red-white heat. You know, just burning all through your entire being. And no food and water, no rest, just like you're just staring into emptiness. The Word of God bores you? Listen, the Bible says, if it does, you're going to hell. So the Lord says, repent or go to hell. Repent or perish, that's what that means. Repent or you're going to hell. The Lord's bored with you because you are a person that doesn't do anything for God. You're a user, that's what you're doing, is using the Lord. And you don't lift a finger to you. It doesn't even enter your mind during the day to win a soul. Never has entered your heart. You're a wicked creature according to God. Well, you say, I don't hurt nobody. Well, but you help anybody? Do you help anybody get into heaven? No, then you're hurting them. Amen?
Amen.
So don't say you're not hurting people. That's your version of hurt. If you're not leading somebody into the kingdom of heaven, you're sending their soul into hell, because the Lord has a job for everyone in this world to do. And if you're not doing it, you're sending people's souls to hell. So don't try to say you're a good person, that you don't hurt people, because that isn't the way it is according to God's word. People that don't bear fruit, in other words, win souls, shall be burnt, the Lord says. I'll break them off and put them into the fire. Then what?
They will be troubled by the fangs of wild beasts, by poisonous snakes that ride in the dust. Verse 25. Outside the sword will bring death, and inside terror will strike both young men and young women, both infants and the aged.
You know, so the sword, that means carnal weapons. Did you ever think of maybe an atomic bomb falling on your city? Oh, you never thought about that one, huh? Or germ warfare hitting you with all the terrorists around? How about that one, donkey? The Lord can put it in their heart. He did that with many people. He's using right now at this moment those kind of people to destroy the wicked and to destroy those that just refuse to serve God. Those are the wicked. Then what?
Verse 26.
Can you find a safe place on this earth? Do you know that somebody for sure that's not going to break into your house tonight or your place of business tomorrow and wave a pistol in your face and put a new eye hole in the middle of your head? You don't know that. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I decided to scatter them so even the memory of them would disappear. Verse 27. But I feared the taunt of the enemy, that their adversaries might misunderstand and say, quote, our power has triumphed, exclamation mark. It was not the Lord who did this, exclamation mark, unquote.
See, the Lord fears that somebody else will get blamed for doing these destructive things. He wants to be blamed for it, okay? So that really ticks him off, I said, that you say it's Mother Nature or some power other than himself. Even if it's a nation of people, he's the one that's put it in their heart to come and get you, all right? He did that with King Titus. He came after the Jews and destroyed them in 70 A.D., How do you think that these people under Hitler's regime, you punish them because of their rejection of God, and they make jokes about the Lord? Just keep it up, and that your torment, you Jews, will never end, but repent and God will turn back to you because he loves you. He really does, but only if you serve him, okay? That's what he's doing, is crying out to you. He wants you to be saved, because once you Jews get saved, you're going to be the greatest evangelist in the whole world. Because you're the natural loved ones, the original loved ones of the Lord. And he said he's turning back to you Jews in the last days. And he turned his back on the Gentiles. The end of the Gentile dispensation ended in 1947 and 8. Oh, of course, there's Gentiles being saved. And there's some of them that are great soul winners, too. We have some great soul winners in our church, like Buster. He's out there winning souls every night. And every day, every chance he gets, he's witnessing. I'm talking about the elect of God. Then go ahead.
Verse 28. Israel is a nation that lacks sense. The people are foolish without understanding. Verse 29. Oh, that they were wise and could understand this! Exclamation mark. Oh, that they might know their fate! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, wise means that they fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So he that fears the Lord, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom, the Bible says. If you don't fear God, you'll do anything. You're a loose cannon. And you got no chance. No chance. So pray for the fear of the Lord, people, please. Then what?
Verse 30. How could one person chase 1,000 of them and two people put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them, unless the Lord had given them up? King James Version, verse 31. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Verse 32. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter. Verse 33. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Verse 34, is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures?
Yeah, is because the Lord lays up his wrath and it just keeps getting more and more full. And then when he's had enough of you or anybody, then he comes down and that's it. He treasures to destroy people. Okay, go ahead.
Translation, verse 31 through 34. But the rock of our enemies is not like our rock, as even they recognize. Verse 32. Their vine grows from the vine of Sodom, from the vineyards of Gomorrah. Their grapes are poison, and their clusters are bitter. Verse 33. Their wine is the venom of snakes, the deadly poison of vipers. Verse 34. I am storing up these things, sealing them away within my treasure. King James Version, verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense.
Yeah, see, the Lord says, I'm going to get you. I'm going to vengeance, a recompense, judgment. I'm going to come down and wreck you if you don't get right with me. Then what?
Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. Verse 36, for the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. Verse 37, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted?
Yeah, now when I'm wrecking you, where's your God now? Can your God save you? Not when I'm wrecking you, he can't. Because you don't have a God. Those are just fakes. Then what else?
Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection.
Yeah, let your God try to fight me to save you. Then what?
Verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal.
See, he brags about killing. And wounding, doesn't he?
Amen.
And I'll heal you, you know, if you just do what I tell you. Because I'm a dictator. He's not a democracy. He's a theocracy. Amen?
Amen.
He is a ruler. Okay?
Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Verse 40. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever.
Yeah. See, I'm not sorry that I'm the one that has to tell these things, but somebody has to tell you because they're just all chicken, afraid to tell you these things. But you see, I'm not afraid to tell you what God said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It's amazing how many of these supposed to be preachers are. Okay.
Translation, verse 35 through 40. I will take vengeance. I will repay those who deserve it.
God's bragging about it again. He loves to tell you who's doing it. He does not want you to think it's Mother Nature. Because, you know, there's no Easter Bunny either, kids. Okay? No Santa Claus. Okay? No Tooth Fairy. And no Mother Nature. Okay? It's God. All right? Then what?
In due time, their feet will slip. Their day of disaster will arrive, and their destiny will overtake them.
Hopefully, I have pierced through your Easter bunny brains. Okay? Then what else?
Verse 36. Indeed, the Lord will judge his people, and he will change his mind about his servants, when he sees their strength is gone and no one is left, slave or free. Verse 37. Then he will ask, quote, where are their gods, their rocks they fled to for refuge?
Yeah, go run for a rock someplace, you know, or a cave, or one of your molten images. Then what, or your husband or your wife? What good are they going to do you? Name it.
Verse 38, where now are those gods who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their offerings? Let those gods arise and help you! Exclamation mark.
You see, God is just mocking you for that. When your trouble comes, you'll run to him, and you'll find out you're hugging on to him, and they're just going to stand still, and they're just going to be as cold as rock, because they're going to be, if they're a human, they're going to be dead and cold, and the rock will just maybe crumble in your hands. There's nothing that a rock or a stump or any human can do when God's after you. Okay? You know, listen to the Lord and get your mind off of the Easter Bunny or the Santa Claus. All right? I know it's nice for you to think nice things like that. You think, okay, but it's not going to work. All right, what else?
Let them provide you with shelter! Exclamation mark. Verse 39. Look now, I myself am he! Exclamation mark. There is no God other than me! Exclamation mark. I am the one who kills and gives life. I am the one who wounds and heals.
Right, does the Easter Bunny kill and make alive?
No.
No. Or Santa?
No.
Or the tooth fairy?
No.
So you can't run to them for help. Amen?
Amen.
Because they can't do anything. It's a stuffed animal. Wake up. Okay, what else?
No one delivers from my power! Exclamation mark. Verse 40. Now I raise my hand to heaven and declare, quote, as surely as I live, King James Version, verse 41, if I wet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Verse 42, I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh. And
My God, this is God of love. I mean, how you idiots believe this stuff? You're idiot preachers. Why? Because they don't read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
This is the real word of God. You know? This is the only real thing in this world. The world's going to burn up, so it's not real. Amen?
Amen.
Anything that's real lasts forever. Only the Lord and those that believe in him shall last forever. Then what?
My sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives, from the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Verse 43, rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people.
So God will be merciful to those that love him and keep his commandments, that fear him and keep his commandments. But everybody else is in a lot of trouble. I mean, more than you have any idea. So much more. It's far beyond your imagination. You're limited your imagination if you believe in those things that I was mentioning just a few minutes ago. That's very juvenile, what you believe in. Believe also that there's a heaven and a hell, and the hell, they're both very real. I've seen them both. Then what?
Verse 44, and Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. Verse 45, and Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. Verse 46, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day.
Yeah, it's good to remember the words of that song, huh?
Amen.
Because it's a true song. It's not hang down your head, Tom Dooley. All right? Okay, what else?
Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Verse 48, and the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, verse 49, get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Verse 50, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Verse 51, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel, at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel.
Now, see, Moses was about as perfect as you could get in the Old Testament without being totally filled with the Spirit. And so if he was that way, we can be way more victorious than him by living in the Spirit of the Lord. And if Moses had to die because of that he erred once, just think, see, the Bible says that the righteous shall scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven. So where do the unjust stand? Those that absolutely don't even think about God or what he wants you to do during the day. you don't stand a chance. Okay, so he's telling Moses, go up there and die. Okay, then what else?
Verse 52, yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel.
Okay, now the translation.
Verse 41 through 52. When I sharpen my flashing sword and begin to carry out justice, I will bring vengeance on my enemies and repay those who hate me.
And who is an enemy of the Lord? He says, all that are not with me are against me. And if you're against the Lord, you're his enemy. So if you're not with the Lord, you're his enemy, and he's going to whet his sword and take vengeance on you. Okay? If you're not doing what he says, you're his enemy. You're with me in everything I do, or you're my enemy. That's all there is to it. It's simple. If you just get your mind off all the fictitious things in this world. Okay? Then what else?
Verse 42, I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword will devour flesh, the blood of the slaughtered and captives, and the heads of the enemy leaders.
Does the Lord do that? Then what?
Verse 43, rejoice with him, O heavens, and let all the angels of God worship him, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will take vengeance on his enemies and cleanse his land and his people.
See, the Lord will do it. Then what?
Verse 44, so Moses came with Joshua, son of Nun, and recited all the words of this song to the people. Verse 45, when Moses had finished reciting these words to Israel, verse 46, he added, quote, take to heart all the words I have given you today. Pass them on as a command to your children, so they will obey every word of this law. Verse 47, these instructions are not mere words. They are your life! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, so why should we fear the Lord? Because he says he'll destroy you if you don't do what he says. That's why you should fear him. He says he'll take vengeance on you, wrath on you, send you into the pit of hell and in the lake of fire. Why should you fear the Lord? Don't you know why? I mean, the whole Bible is all saying this all the time, from Genesis up to this point and throughout the entire Bible. I mean, the human brain is so weak. And everybody thinks they're so strong because they know how to turn on a television set. Yeah, or to play a cassette or get on the internet. But you're not smart because you don't take this to heart. You are believing the most. See, the devil just doesn't. The power of Satan does not want you to believe these things that the Lord says. And he's the only truth in the universe. He doesn't want you to believe because he wants you to spend eternity in hell with him. Because misery loves company and he hates you in the first place because you're saved or the Lord wants you saved and he doesn't want you to hear the truth. That's why they're taking the Bible out of school. This is the end time. And so it just keeps saying these same things all throughout the Bible. And I mean, Old and New Testament. So, I mean, you don't have any excuse. You're not going to be able to have any excuse before the judgment bar of God. And there's just nobody preaching it this strong in the world. God really called me to do this. And it's for sure. No man preached to me and got me saved because I didn't respect any man. But God called me in a very supernatural way. And I'm just telling you like it is. And I'm reading it right from the Bible, having it read, and I'm just commenting on it. It's the truth. So you have no excuse. Okay, go ahead.
By obeying them, you will enjoy a long life in the land you are crossing the Jordan River to occupy.
See, the Lord is telling people how you can have a long life and get into heaven. And he's telling you how you're going to be destroyed. So, he's fighting fair. He's playing it right with you. Amen? He's fair. Okay, what else?
Moses' death, which is prophesied. Verse 48. That same day the Lord said to Moses, verse 49, quote, go to Moab, to the mountains east of the river, and climb Mount Nebo, which is across from Jericho. Look out across the land of Canaan, the land I am giving to the people of Israel, as their own possession. Verse 50, then you must die there on the mountain and join your ancestors, just as Aaron your brother died on Mount Hor and joined his ancestors. Verse 51, for both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites at the waters of Meribah, at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. You failed to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel there. Verse 52, So you will see the land from a distance, but you may not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel.
So people that are of the Lord, you have to demonstrate God's holiness. You have to let people know that he's holy, and without holiness, you're going to be destroyed, and you won't be able to see God eternally. Okay, then now we have some translation. That was the end of chapter 32, and let's go with some commentary.
32:1-47. This song was to be learned and repeated by the Israelites as an ongoing witness of their understanding of the covenant between them and God. 32:4. The Lord is described 5 times in this song as the rock, the essence of stability and reliability. 4:15, 18:30, and 31.
Yeah, his word is reliable and stable. You can stand on it. You can go far further than the bank with it. You can go to the kingdom of heaven with it. Okay, then what else?
This descriptive title stresses the permanent, unchanging nature of the God of the covenant. 32:9. Israel is here called Jacob, a common synonym for Israel. 32:15. Jeshurun is a name for Israel, however poetic it is. Israel's ingratitude to God is clearly noted as, quote, she grew fat on the bountiful provision of God and kicked, resisting his love and control. Israel abandoned her source of creation and scorned the basis of her salvation.
Now, some people may take offense of that God controls people. He won't do it unless you want him to. You have to be, but you do have to be controlled by either God or Satan. So you have to choose, because you're a free moral agent, who you want to be controlled by. You cannot be controlled a little by God and a lot by Satan, or a little bit by God and a little bit by Satan. You either have to be controlled, give yourself totally to God, or give yourself totally to Satan, because you're going to the same hell if you only give a little bit of control to God and a whole lot to Satan, or half to God and half to Satan, or 90% to God and 10% to Satan. You're still going to hell. So the Lord says, just no. You can't love two masters. Choose one or the other. You got to love one and hate the other. Okay, so either love God and hate Satan, or just take off and go with Satan, and, you know, for sure you'll hate God. All right, and the Lord Jesus Christ said that. All right, what else?
32:17. The idol worship of the pagan world is clearly more than superstition. Such worship submits the worshiper to demonic power. See also Leviticus 17:7, 2 Chronicles 11:15, and Psalm 106:37. 32:49. Abarim means, quote, the mountain of the border lands, unquote, and constitutes a range of mountains of which Nebo is the highest peak. 32:8. The Dead Sea Scrolls, which we believe are phony, reads, quote, of the sons of God, unquote, and the Greek versions which read, quote, of the angels of God, unquote. Of course, angels are depicted in the book of Revelation as messengers, and the Masoretic text reads, quote, of the sons of Israel, unquote.
Mm-hmm. The angels, you know, have, Bible talks of them having 2 wings, and seraphims have 6 wings. They have 2 wings covering their head, and two wings in the middle, and 2 wings down below. On their feet. That's a seraphim. Okay, then what?
32:10. The Hebrew, quote, as the apple of his eye, unquote. 32:15. The Hebrew term for the word, quote, Jeshurun, unquote, is a term of endearment for Israel. 32:22. Hebrew of Sheol. 32:26. As in the Greek version, the meaning of the Hebrew is certain. 32:31. The meaning of the Hebrew in the Greek version reads, quote, our enemies are fools, unquote. 32:36. Or
God's enemies are fools. Amen.
Amen.
And what else?
32:36. Or, quote, we'll take vengeance for, unquote.
Praise the Lord. That was chapter 32, and that was verses was commentary. It will be doing chapter 33. Later this evening, God willing. And until then, just keep remembering these things. Remember this song. It'd be good to have a special copy of it for yourself, you know, to remind yourselves that no matter what foolishness you see in this world, God is not foolishness. He's very serious. And he doesn't like people mocking him by not doing what he says. And it's you listen to the tapes, read your Bible, and check it out to see if what we're reading here in the Bible is what your Bible says, too. And if it doesn't, throw yours away, okay, because you've got one of these new versions that are evil versions, okay? And that's what you want to do is just have that power of God in you. And you'll stand until tomorrow. The Lord bless you. And that is if tomorrow ever comes. Amen.
Amen.